Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We are in the Advent. Remember, what's Advent is coming. Coming, right? Coming of the Lord. So, Jesus is coming, right? We're in the second part of the Advent now. And that's where we need to be and understand what's going on now. So we can be everything He created us to be and be effective in helping others to come to know Him for when He comes back the second time. Because when He comes back the second time, there's not going to be a third time. That's going to be it. And if you don't know Him then, it's going to be too late. That's what the Bible teaches. So, we really like to celebrate Advent. And something we do is we always have people, we find people in the church that are growing and maturing, and we see them... We just see the fruit of the Spirit working in their life. And I have a big thing with single mothers. It's not easy to be a single mother. You know? It says, God says in His Word, He's the father to the fatherless. You know what? We represent Him. We're supposed to help the fatherless. See, that's what Jesus' birthday is all about, too. Helping children that their fathers aren't around to provide for them. Am I making sense? Amen. That's why we support 300 and some orphans in India. They don't have a father. We're supposed to be. See that? And so... Megan Copeland is going to be our Advent person this week. I have seen her. She comes on Wednesday nights. She brings her kids. I'm going to tell you, I know it's not easy. I see it. It's difficult. Work all day, get home and make sure they're fed and bathed, and you got to, and you know what? But she's doing it. Boy, I see a spark in her face and in her eyes. God is doing something. And so I said, we need to hear from her. And you do too. All right? So we're gonna hear from Megan this morning about Advent. And so Megan, why don't you come on up here?
My name's Megan. This is Shanice. And this is Mila. I'll be reading out of Zephaniah 3:14-20. Sing, daughter Zion. Hold on. There we go. Shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, and in His love will no longer rebuke you and rejoice over you with singing. I will remove you from all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles, and I will give them praise and honor in every land where you have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the people of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Okay. So growing up, I had a good childhood. My parents ended up divorcing when I was 13, and shortly after that, I started coming here with my friend Megan. This was my happy place. I loved coming here, And I was here from probably middle school through my sophomore year of high school. And Pastor Fred and John baptized me in Fort Laramie Lake when I was in middle school. And I was here until high school, and then I started hanging out with the wrong crowd. I started partying and doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And shortly after that, I met Shanice's dad, and he was into church, so I started going to his church. Everything seemed to be getting better for me, and what are you doing? And I ended up getting pregnant when I was 20, and when I was 3 months pregnant, her dad was killed in a motorcycle accident. So I was trying to process all of that while being pregnant. It was really hard, and instead of going to God for help, I questioned him, trying to figure out why he would do that to me, why he'd make me a single mom. And so I was trying to process all of that, and then I ended up having her, had a C-section, and then a week after that, I was in the hospital because I got blood clots from my surgery, which I'm still on blood thinners now, and they say I'll be on them the rest of my life. So after that, I had her, I was being a single mom, working full-time, and then I eventually met Mila's dad, and I was with him for about 7 or 8 months, and he wanted to move away, so I left my support system, I left my family, moved to South Carolina with him and Shanice, and our relationship was not good. I was pretty much emotionally abused the whole time I was there, and I eventually left after like 2 years, moved back home, moved in with my mom. And then 6 months after that, he came back home, and I went back to him. And then I had Mila. It was hard. I knew having her, I was going to be a single mom because we weren't together, and it was something I never should have done in the first place. I love her, and it's been hard. I ended up finishing college. I got my bachelor's in 2020. And a year and a half ago, I was struggling, trying to process all the pain and all the stuff I was dealing with, and I couldn't figure it out. So I was like, I need to go back to that place where I was happy. So I came back here a year and a half ago, and it's been amazing. 3 weeks ago, well, in June, I applied for these new places that were being built, and every day I'd drive to work, I'd drive past, I'd pray for it, like saying I wanted it. And 3 weeks ago, we moved in there. I got a raise last week at work, so everything's just been working out. And it's just been amazing. Shanice loves coming here, and I can tell that she's even growing, and I'm just excited to see what else is going to happen. I have a lot of learning and growing to do, but we're definitely excited for it. You want to say anything?
I like coming to this church because everyone in this church loves God.
Thank you.
You know, that's really what it's about. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about today the love of God. And that's what God is doing in us, is developing that in us. And so the things we go through, God wants to help you understand Him better, because, see, His love is the agape love. So His love is not predicated on our love. It's on His love. You see that? His love is unconditional. It's not based on anything. It's based on Him. He is love. Amen. 1 John 4:8, God is love. And so a lot of people don't understand love. It says in Ephesians 3, His love is so high, well, I'm going to add a little extra to it, but it's so high, you'll never get over it. It's so low, you'll never find the bottom of it. It's so wide, you'll never get around it. It's so long, you'll never get to the end of it. His love really can't be measured by man. And so we have to understand that His nature is love. And that's what He's doing. He's going to develop His love in us. And you see, like Megan, she asked, why did this happen to me? She was offended by what had happened. And her life began to spiral down. Well, see, that's the way it is. You see, we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world. And so when we have God and we understand my response is my responsibility, I have to look at God and say, God, I know you're too wise to make a mistake and you're too loving to be unkind. I've got to depend on you and help me in this situation, and he's going to. You understand? He will help you. I don't care what you're going through. It says in Galatians 5:6, faith works through love. Nothing happens with God outside of faith. Faith has got to be mixed in there. You see that? He says, learn of me. I am meek and lowly. I am meek and gentle in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. You're only going to find rest if you got faith. He says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're not going to have any joy if you don't have faith. Because everything that's going on in the world will take your joy. But if your faith is in place, you can have joy right in the midst of it. That's why he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience is the first attribute of love. God's developing his love in all of us. And it's not predicated on how we love. It's his love, his nature. And so I'm saying all this because we're going to talk about his love today in a way maybe some of you have not heard. But we're going to talk about, you know, we just saw what happened yesterday in Mayfield, Kentucky, and Illinois, and all these people, all this mass destruction going on. And I'm going to tell you something. This is real. And God's people are being raised up so we can, it's love that's really going to reach people. You know, we were at Olive Garden yesterday. There was about 15 or 16 of us, family. We're sitting there eating and carrying on, and we all just got done eating a good meal, you know. Breadsticks and salad and all that, you know. And then the waitress comes and we want to pay the bill. Oh, it's already taken care of for you. It's all taken care of. Now, we didn't eat a happy meal. This was a meal. Each of us. This is close to $300. Taken care of. See that? I'm going to tell you, that's God. And that's the way he is. You see that? He'll do things, he'll show you things, that he's there and working, and you just like, okay. God is good. So I'm just trying to help you see something. There's so much that we've been pre-programmed with that our parents taught us, that we learned growing up, that has nothing to do with God's love. Nothing. And so we got to get over that. And God's trying to reprogram us with his love and how he is and develop you in your faith so you can begin to enjoy life and experience life. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He also said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You can't do that independent. You can't have it apart from Jesus. You got to be in him. And your faith has to be in him, in Jesus, for you to have an abundant life. So, we're going to talk about this today, and we're going to look at Matthew 24. And Tim, let's go to the vision. And we will get started here. To build a people who are established in God's word advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming?" Advent. Coming. Advent. We're in that now, the second part of Advent. And of the end of the age. All right. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ.' And many will deceive." And that's it. You got it. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures till the end shall be saved." You see that? Earthquakes, pestilence, pandemics, tornadoes, all that is a sign of his coming. You see that? And so we have to pay attention. He said, you know, many will be offended. We're going to understand how to not be offended so we can be effective in our witness to help other people for when he comes back. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for all that you're doing. We ask, Lord, that you, in your own special way, Lord, that you do a work in Mayfield, Kentucky, and Illinois, and all those places where all those people were disrupted by this storm and just the destruction that's taken place. We pray, Lord, that those that don't know you would call on your name. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to do a work. And Lord, we know that you are, and we know that you're doing a work in our hearts. So, Father, continue to lead us and guide us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. Now, you see all this. And, you know, this pandemic, you see how the pandemic has affected so much education and shopping and it's had a major effect on things. Employment, all these different things, and how all this affects things. But I'm here to tell you, there's something that some things don't affect, and it should be your faith. Your faith is sacred. I'm going to be in church on Sunday, and I'm going to be up here with a word for you all. And I'm going to be, are you listening to me? And I am going to stay in the faith, because that's where my life exists, is in the faith. Am I making sense? When I move away from the faith, I move away from what God created me for and all he's called me to. You see that? And now that just brings confusion and misery. When you get away from it, that's what happens. You open yourself up to more confusion and more misery. So we want to stay in the faith, regardless of what's going on around us. You see that? So, your faith is not to give you what you want. Your faith is to give you what God wants. Your faith is not to give you what you want, but your faith is to give you what God wants. And he wants the best for you, because he created you You see that? He created you. He's the creator. You know, if I look at my tag on my shirt, I don't know who made it, but let's just say, you know, Macy's made it. Who knows? So Macy's is the one who created it. He gives me instructions on how to take care of it and how to get the best and how it can last the longest and how it can continue to look good. You take care of it the way it says. You see that? Because he's the manufacturer. God is our creator. He manufactured us. He lets you know how to take care of your life and how to live your life for its full potential. You see that? So that's the idea. He wants you to reach your full potential because he created you. See this? And so when our faith is in him, that's what begins to take place. Now, so we're going to look at, go with me to verse 10 of this chapter, if you would. Now look what it says. It says, and many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Now, this word, I've taught on this before. This is something we have to understand if we are going to stay in the faith. Because, watch this. Now, this word, offense, to be offended, it's the Greek word skandalon. S-K-A-N-D-A-L-A-L-O-N. And this is what it is. It's the place on a trap where the bait is placed. So pay attention. It's the place on a trap where the bait is placed. So what they would do is they would trap these animals. They would find out. They would search out the path of an animal. You know, a rabbit, a bear, a deer. They would search out the path. And they would put this trap in the path of that animal. And so they would dig a hole. Then they would bend a branch down over the path. And a string rope would be tied to it. And there'd be a loop. And then right in the middle, they would put the bait. They knew what the animal liked. They would put it in that center. And then when that animal came down that path, to get that food or whatever, it would be hung upside down because the branch would pull it up and there it was trapped now. And it was upside down. So here's the concept. When you're in a trap, your view of everything is upside down. It's opposite to the way it really is. Did you catch that? See, this is why people have to deal with offenses from their childhood. Well, I never knew my dad. Well, I understand. But you see, when you understand God's love, God is going to show you something that your dad didn't even have the ability to love you the way he should. Maybe he was so broken that he couldn't give you what you needed. But God will give you what you need. Do you see this? And so here's the thing. We can't allow an offense in any way, shape, or form to take offend us because we're trapped now. You see that? This is what the devil will do. He will use people and circumstances to offend you, to hurt you. And now you're trapped. Your view of everything is upside down. He'll use circumstances to hurt you. But you have to know. And you have to understand. God's love is not predicated on what I think. It's on what who he is. You see that? When we understand that, it changes everything. See, what happens is, when you get hurt by somebody, they hurt you. Now, your concentrated affections are not on God, and people, they're on you. The best book I've ever read was The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. And I've given 40-some of them books away. That's, you know, we were on our trip when we went to hiking in the wilderness at Smoky Mountains here a couple weeks ago. And my son, you know, we're driving, it was kind of quiet there. And Finley was in the back seat, and he says, Dad, my son says, Dad, what's the best book you've ever read? I said, that's easy. The Bait of Satan. He goes, oh, okay. He goes, well, give us the gist of it. I got to speak all this to my son and my grandson. My grandson was back there absorbing it all. And one of the things my grandson said, Papa, that makes so much sense. He was getting it. So if you don't get it, he got it. He's 11 years old. Listen to me. You can't allow what somebody else has done or a circumstance or a situation cause you to get hurt. Because now it's everything's about you. And you're always on the defense. You're always trying to defend yourself. You can't defend yourself. You see that? God says, vengeance is mine. He'll be your defender. He is your defender. He'll take care of you. So now listen. How do you keep from getting offended? The love of God. You immediately forgive. You forgive your father. You forgive your mother. You forgive them for the divorce. You forgive them for the abuse. You forgive them for all their alcoholism, their drug that. You forgive them for all that because they're just broken too. They don't understand God's love yet. You're starting to when you don't take offense. You catching this? Now, this is what protects you in the middle of all this. So you can remain a healthy witness for Christ and advance God's kingdom and fulfill God's will. See, God wants you to do His will. See, when you're in the faith and you're loving people and you love God, you are in His will. Covenant. See, that's what covenant means, will. Covenant. New Testament means will. You are in His will. You see that? I just talked to my friend. He's a lawyer, and I'm doing a new will. I'm getting a new will, taking care of all, a living will and all that. You know, I'm getting all those things. It's just important. You know, you just take care of your stuff, right? So I'm getting a new will. It's a new will. Because I want Donita and, you know, my family to understand what I want. See, that's what the Bible is. It's a covenant. It's His will. When you don't understand it and you don't read it, you don't know His will. And you don't get it. Love is His will. When you grow in this, you start to understand what you possess in His will. And it comes to protect you and bless you in the middle. Maturity. When you get to a place of maturity, now I can trust you to do my will and help other people.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.